You're listening to the Gospel Project for Preschooling Kids Weekly Leader Training, helping you teach your kids the big story of the Bible.
Welcome back to the Weekly Leader Training for the Gospel Project for Preschool and Kids. This week, Karen and I will cover the Christmas session, Jesus Was Born. So Karen, I'm going to put you on the spot here. What is one of your favorite memories of Christmas, either growing up or as an adult, or what's something that kind of stands out around Christmas for you?
Yeah, well, I actually can answer that right off the top of my head. One year, my dad decided that he wanted us to make a completely homemade tree. So we strung popcorn and made homemade ornaments. I remember covering styrofoam balls with glitter. And it was really the happiest memory. It's so funny. I don't think we did it again, probably because I think it stressed my mom out really bad. But yeah, so Christmas tree was a big deal to me. Yeah. I could go on. Yeah.
What about you? That sounds like a great idea in theory and in concept, but the execution would be a terror. I would imagine that's why it never happened again. I've never done popcorn around a tree.
Have you not? Yeah. We only did it that one time, and I do remember it being pretty challenging.
That would be tedious as well, stringing popcorn.
And needles and fishing line with kids. I'm pretty sure that's why we didn't do it again.
So for me, one thing that stands out, and I guess I should have had a thought about this before I asked you. I had an advantage and I still don't know. I think one of the memories that kind of stands out is, and this is going to reveal how old I am. This is when the Atari game system was brand new. So this is probably, I guess, 1982 or something like that, 83 in that window. And my brother and I really wanted that Atari game system. We kept pestering, as kids are prone to do. There was a gift under the tree. We thought it was it. And then Christmas morning, we tear into that, and it was something, I don't know what it was, but it wasn't Atari. And we were so crushed. We were so devastated. And if I remember correctly, my parents went out and bought us an Atari game system soon after that.
Oh, no. So they really, weren't teasing you.
No, they didn't. No, we did not have one. And I hope they didn't give in to, I hope we were not being dumb heads about it and being, whiners. And I hope they didn't feed that. My version of it, it was a better telling, but I just remember that crushing disappointment of, we thought for sure we didn't get one. Yeah. I've had a hard life.
Yeah. That's the year my dad went out and cut down the Christmas tree without me. And I was devastated and did pitch a fit, and he did give it to somebody, and we went to the Christmas tree farm and cut one down.
Well, as we get ready to transition to talking about this week's session, let me jump ahead and give kind of a note of caution as just an overarching, not just this session. This is just for ministry in general during this time. As Karen, I didn't have this intention, but since I asked it, it kind of leads to this. For many people, Christmas is one of the happiest times of the year. There are a lot of people who just look forward to this. It's such a great time, memories, family, tradition, and so forth. But that's not true of everybody. And so as you are leading your groups, just keep that in mind that you may have kids who are struggling during this season. This is also one of the times of the year where it has a lot of people struggle with depression. There's a lot of anxiety and so forth around this time of the year as well. So just remember that. Keep your eyes open. Be sensitive as you're talking about things, as you're celebrating and so forth. Just be sensitive to those kids. Look for any warning signs you might see. Just pray for God to give you wisdom and insight so that you can love all your kids well, any co-leaders, this is not just the kids, anybody who leads with you and church members in general, neighbors, just kind of expand that. And just let's have our heads and our hearts on a swivel. Always looking for, is there somebody who needs extra love and encouragement during this time? Because again, it can seem counterintuitive. This should be time everybody's festive, right? Everybody's joyful, but that's not the case. All right, so we're talking about Christmas, but we're taking a little bit different approach at the Christmas story this time, aren't we, Karen? What are we going to be talking about?
Yeah, we really did change it up. Typically we use basically the same story from the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're all very similar, very narrative driven. But in this story, we're looking at the birth of Christ through the lens of John's Gospel. And it's a little bit different. It's a lot more conceptual and Yeah, I think you're going to talk about that a little bit more, so I won't jump into the Genesis 1 comparison. But yeah, so it's definitely a different approach this time. So I think it's going to be very refreshing.
Yeah, and so just to kind of keep that in mind as we dovetail and talk about some areas needing caution or extra prep time, the first one is this. Keep in mind that we're stepping out of the chronology. Last week, we were looking at Acts. We were talking about, you know, Peter and John healing a man in the temple. Jesus was not born right after that. So this is not chronological order, of course. Your kids are really used to us, you know, kind of pursuing this chronology. And so you just want to transition carefully into this session. Don't assume your kids understand it. Make sure it's clear. Just explain it, you know, just as you're kind of introducing this session, say, hey, we're going to be taking a step back because we're celebrating the birth of Christ, and we're going to rewind to what we've already studied before. And so I would encourage you, be careful how you transition into the session, but also out of the session. At the end of this week's session, you may want to give that reminder, hey, next week we're going back to kind of what we've been talking about. And then next week, transition. Again, just be careful to kind of, I don't think you can say this enough to help our kids understand the chronology and how we have to step out of it for Christmas and Easter again in the spring when we get to it.
Yeah, I wanted to add to that. This is a really great opportunity to let the timeline, the giant timeline, help you if you have it, because you really have a great visual that you can literally walk backwards and say, we're going back here because this is the time of year that the church, yeah, you know, celebrates Jesus's birth. And then next week we're going back here. So definitely use that as a help if you can.
Yeah, that's a good word. The other thing, back to what you were saying, Karen, is the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they follow each other pretty closely. And you know, when you think about the birth narrative in the Synoptics, it's pretty much what we think of. It's you know, angels appearing to Mary and Elizabeth and the birth of John and the birth of Jesus, traveling to Bethlehem, all that. And that's usually what we focus on. And this session, we really don't deal with that. We're dealing with John's gospel, and he takes a totally different approach. He just says, all right, look, it's been cut. My guess, it's the Holy Spirit prompting him, of course, and I don't know exactly what he's thinking, but it seems like he was thinking this. Hey, Matthew, Mark, Luke, they've got that covered. Matthew and Luke primarily. They've got that covered. Let me give you a different approach. And John wrote his gospel last. So he is probably saying, all right, let me plow some new ground here, and let me make sure it's abundantly clear who this Jesus is. That's the heartbeat of John in his gospel over and over again. He just wants it to be clear that the reader knows who Jesus is and finds salvation in him. And so John uses Genesis 1 as his kind of his template for John 1, his introduction to Jesus. If you look at them side by side, it's apparent. I mean, think about the ideas, the Word of God. How did God create? By the Word. You just look over and over, if you just put these next to each other, it becomes crystal clear what John was doing. And so I'd encourage you, especially the kids groups, if you have time, pull out Genesis, pull out John, hold them side by side and read them together and let your kids see how John was intentionally pointing us to Genesis. Then the question is why? What was John trying to say? And just as we see God creating everything, and Jesus, the entire Trinity was involved in creation, Jesus was there creating, and he created everything, John is saying in the gospel that he's going to be showing us, what he's showing us is that Jesus, in a way, is recreating. He's making all things new. Not a new world. He's renewing it through what he's going to be doing. His ministry is one to fix what we broke because of sin, Genesis 3, and restore creation to how it should be. Now, that will not happen until one day. Revelation, which John also wrote, is about that. But this is what John's trying to get on our radar, the big story of Scripture, which is one reason why we're big fans of the Gospel of John in this regard, because it's the heartbeat of the Gospel Project for kids. It's all one big story. So that's what John is doing. He's saying this Jesus is not new. We see him all the way back here in Genesis. We see what he's about. We can understand it by going back to Genesis 1, 2, and 3 to understand what we're going to encounter here in this gospel of John I'm putting before you. So we hope that this is a good time for you to take a little bit different perspective of the Christmas account with your kids, especially those who may have grown up in the church and have heard this many, many times. Hopefully this is a little bit fresh perspective. All right, so how about preschool and toddlers, babies and toddlers? What are some things that we need to make note of this week?
Well, just along those lines, again, John 1 is pretty conceptual. So in the preschool Bible story, we did go ahead and work in some of the narrative details from the synoptic gospels. Let me say that again. Sorry, Aaron. Okay. So in preschool, in the Bible story, we worked in some of the narrative details from the synoptic gospels just to make the story a little easier for preschoolers to understand, give them a little bit more context for what John was saying. And I think we did a pretty good job explaining the conceptual parts. I feel really good with how I was nervous when this one first came up, but then was really happy with how it turned out. So again, too, you know, just as we don't ever understand everything from John 1, know that preschoolers, you know, they may not understand everything, and that's okay. We are laying those foundations for they're going to build upon for the rest of their lives. So then looking at just the particular activities in the leader guide, in the preschool leader guide, they're going to set up a manger scene. And I would just encourage you, I think it is definitely worth the investment to get a few of those plastic, you know, unbreakable manger scenes for, you know, you to use in the classroom. And really, there's something that you can use throughout the year if you're using the Gospel Project curriculum, because we do, you know, go back and point out things, you know, at different times of the year as they relate to the Bible story. And two, how many times do we use people cutouts? Or I'm sorry, plastic people figures. And so, you know, a manger scene gives you a few plastic people figures from Bible times. So just want to encourage you that I really do think that that is worth, you know, the investment to have on hand. And, you know, they're sturdy, you know, you just put them up when you're not using them. So encourage you in that. And then I've been talking about it the last couple weeks. This is the week that we are taking pictures and making a picture frame. Again, you want to follow your church's security procedures. And so the idea, if you didn't have the opportunity to take pictures before the session and previous sessions, is you'll take the pictures of children at the beginning of the session, print them out, and then use them in the experience the story part. So you're going to need to designate somebody to have that job. And probably it would be ideal if it could be somebody who is not one of your normal classroom leaders, so that you can have all hands on deck. If somebody could, you know, be the runner for that, that would be great. Another fun activity is taste Lottie's tea cake. So, you know, we haven't talked about it much in these training episodes, but, you know, our missionary for this month is Lottie Moon. And so one of the ways she shared the gospel was by building relationships through cookies. And so this is a fun treat. And there's lots of different ways you can do it. We just gave you the recipe, and so make them before the session or purchase store-bought cookies. But, you know, you could be like, you're a TV chef and you put the ingredients together with the kids, and then all of a sudden you have these cooked cookies. So you could definitely do that. I will say, if you do the dough with the preschoolers, it does require a mixer. That may be more than you want to get into. But something else you could do is to bring, you know, the dough pre-made, let the preschoolers roll it out and cut it out, and then you can bake them in a toaster oven. It takes about 5 to 7 minutes. So hopefully by this time we're back to normal. So you may have to take in, you know, germs considerations there that you didn't before COVID. But anyway, I think it's a fun activity and worth doing. And then again, just to keep it on your radar, next week we're making a giveaway bag, and you can have items donated, you know, from families. If you look ahead, personal items like socks, hand wipes, lip balm, adhesive bandages, and then also prepackaged snacks like cereal bars, dried fruit snacks, mints, and bottled water. And that's going to be a fun activity, but it'll, you know, help your budget and be more meaningful for the kids if you can have them bring in those supplies.
So going back to the tea cakes, because you know I always focus on food when we talk about food. Here's my tip. If you're going to make those, if you're going to bring a toaster oven or whatever and bake that, make sure you have extra mix, because others are going to smell that wafting through the halls. And you're going to have this migration of staff members and other people just kind of swarming down. And they'll be so nonchalant about it, just passing through, checking. Oh, you have cookies. So, you can be a hero by having extras. And
that is so true. I did not even think about that. But I'm flashing back to my church staff days. And, all the pastors decide to come down and check on the preschool when it's cookie baking day.
It's pastor privilege right there. If I smell food, that's what I would do in ministry. I'm walking down. I'm checking it out. I'm just making sure everything's okay, making sure there's no fire or anything. Oh, you have extra? Okay. As long as I'm not taking it from a kid.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about what we are excited about God potentially doing through this session. I'll go first. As I've already said, this is kind of a fresh perspective of Christmas. So I hope that some of your kids who may think this story is too familiar can kind of be challenged and encouraged to see it in a different way. But here's the thing, and Karen talked about this well. While there is a little bit of challenge to John 1, it doesn't have to be necessarily as hard as we might think when we first read through it, if you keep the big ideas in mind. This concept of word can be challenging, but one that I think is easy to latch onto and something that is really meaningful for kids and preschoolers is light. That John portrays Jesus not only as the word, but as the light of the world. And that is so helpful because we know that light always wins. If you have a dark room and you turn on a light, darkness will never win. Light will always win. Light always chases darkness away. Darkness does not chase light away. And so it's a great opportunity for us to help our kids understand that Jesus, the light of the world, he wins. He cannot be defeated. Wherever he is known and so forth. So it's a great encouragement to our preschoolers and kids, the splendor, the power, the beauty of Jesus Christ through the imagery of light that John portrays. So how about you? What are you excited about?
Yeah, I love that. And along the same lines, again, I think it's probably pretty rare for a children's curriculum to cover John 1. But again, I really do think that children can grasp, way more than we give them credit for. And I think you mentioned earlier, there's going to be kids in your ministry who have, this may be the first time they hear the Christmas story, and that's wonderful. But you probably are going to have, quite a few kids who have heard it a bit and maybe think they know it all, and I think this is going to give them a new way of seeing it. And two, I just love how John focuses less on the narrative details of how Jesus came and puts more emphasis on the why he came. And I think that's really important for kids to know.
Outstanding. I agree completely. All right, let's call it an episode there then. I want to thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you found it helpful as you prepare to teach the Gospel Project for kids and preschool. And for more helpful resources, visit gospelproject.com.